and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's good to be back with you. I enjoy Father West, and we all do, but it's nice to see you. Before I start, I've been talking to all of the masses today. A pastoral concern that's come up doesn't seem to be as much of a problem at 5 p.m. Sunday, but it's always good to be reminded. And I say it as both a brother to you in Christ and as a spiritual shepherd. And I take that role from God very seriously, and I really do love you. Sometimes even good Catholics can fall into bad habits. It can happen to all of us. One very bad habit that can be fixed very easily is leaving before Mass is over without sufficient reason, an emergency or something, usually right after one receives Holy Communion. So please, I ask you, if you've fallen into that, please read my last two paragraphs in my pastor's corner. I even tell you, read that instead of listen to the rest of this homily, right? Just read that. Please note, I have no reason to mention this except that I care about you and your soul. And, you know, it's the Mass is a banquet, the banquet of Jesus Christ, the divine Lamb. And it's not about you. It's not about me. It is about Christ first and then us as the church. And that we receive that blessing and are dismissed as a family to go do the work of Christ together. It's not individual here. So in a word, I say all this because I love you as both a brother and a father. So looking now onto our readings for today. That first reading from Exodus, it's amazing. You know, it is nearly impossible for us to overstate the egregious sin that the Israelites had done. They had just violated the first commandment in spectacular fashion. They were participating in what was going on. The scene at the foot of this mountain was idolatry. The very first commandment, do not make a graven image and do not worship it. And there they are. The scene is chaotic, like a pagan riot, full of, say, debauchery, since there are young ears here. God is not the bad guy here for suggesting to wipe them out, because if you look back just a few verses before, they had just sealed a covenant in blood and had said these words, not once, but twice. All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. But Moses intervenes, and God forgives the worst sin. Now, to that very familiar parable, the prodigal son. Remember Jesus' audience here. He's got tax collectors and sinners, also Pharisees and scribes. All of them would have been stunned by the younger son's request for an inheritance, even more so than in our culture. It is the cultural equivalent of saying, Dad, why don't you just go ahead and die and let me get on with my life, and by the way, give me the money that I was going to get when you die. That would sting the heart of any parent today, especially then, very family-oriented. And then it just gets worse. He sells the property, takes the money, and leaves town to a distant country, it says. Now, for a farming people, which is what Israel is, a farming community, selling your property is no small thing. These are things passed down through families. It was betrayal and the highest level of foolishness. In Jewish terms, the distant country was synonymous with exile. And for the Jews, only the promised land, the Holy Land, was to be the home for God's chosen people. He gave them this land. Why would you go anywhere else? Now, to the ears of Jesus' hearers even now, this has become a common story of sin and exile, familiar to every Jew. But then it gets worse. He loses it all in the worst of possible ways. And then there's a famine. And during the famine, now destitute, he is so hungry that he takes a job tending pigs. And he wants to eat the pig food. Now, this is certain to get a gasp from two or three people in Jesus' audience, because the pig, for the Jew, is the most unclean animal. And so now you have the young man. He is in the lowest place. He has defiled himself by working for pagans, made himself unclean by his contact with prostitutes and swine. And the big thing, it is clearly all his own fault. This is where he is. He's in the depths of exile and shame. But if we're sorry, God will never leave us there. And this is where the light comes. Conversion comes. It says he comes to his senses. I shall get up. Another way of translating the word there is I shall arise and go to my Father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And then Jesus goes on to say, so he got up, so he arose and went back to his Father. In both cases, that word that's being translated is the same exact Greek word later used to describe the resurrection of Jesus Christ when he rises from the dead. So the meaning is clear that repentance, when we repent and we return to the Father, it leads to a resurrection inside. The resurrection was glorious and unexpected and wonderful, and we can have that in conversion. The Son is welcomed back by his Father, an unexpected twist to his Jewish audience's ears, and not as a servant, but as the Son that he always was, completely restored. Now you can imagine what this meant to this group of tax collectors and sinners that Jesus is sharing the meal with. They are not good people. They were swindling people, tax collectors were swindling people out of money, and the sinners were sinners because they were sinners. And here Jesus is sharing a meal with them because they were lost and he wants them back. He actually is reaching out to them when no one else would. You can imagine the same if it's you who've been away and have this own conversion, hitting rock bottom. And you know, coming home is as simple as being truly sorry and making a good confession. It doesn't matter how long it's been since your last confession. One thing, God does not own a wristwatch. He exists outside of all space and time. He doesn't need that. All he wants is you to come back. Also, God, it doesn't matter to God if you committed the worst possible sin. He's forgiven that before countless times, and he'll forgive it for you. He just wants you back. And I make a promise with you, a little deal, that if it truly has been a while and you have a big sin that you're just trying to get off your chest, I'll just give you one Hail Mary, okay? It's a sale. Of course, we have lots of times you can look at the bulletin for reconciliation, for confession, but I always say there's always time for one more. If you see me in the parking lot, you see me in airport, bus stations, I've heard confessions everywhere, and I'm always happy to do that. One final point, very quickly. In all cases, we must not be the other son, angry, judgmental, jumping to conclusions. It was too easy for him to come back. I've been doing all the work. That sense of entitlement that we can get when we have been trying to do good. Instead, when someone has truly come back, we must rejoice. So in fact, you and I we have homework. The homework is this week, start looking for sheep that should be here, right here with us. Show them you care and invite them to come back. Search high and low, like the woman with the lost coin, and trying to find them. You are able to reach people I will never get to. They come to you because they trust you. It's likely you already know them. So give them the invitation to come home, and then let us all celebrate the finding of the lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.